Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Babasra Daf Kuf Samach Aleph. We are holding on Daf Kuf Samach Amud Beis, 7 lines from the end of the page. The last one on the line is Vinechush, and that is the word we're up to. Vinechush, 7 lines from the bottom of the page. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha La Shalom, Nisham Shavan Aliyah, as well as by Daniel Sadian for the success of Klal Yisrael in these times, and Atzlacha for our soldiers and our captives. They shall return home safely, and also by Michelle Small Roth and Aaron Moshe Roth and family for the 5th yard site of Elizabeth Bunny Small Bunya Bas Chaim Anshel, the Nesham Shabbat Aliyah. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So the first thing we're going to discuss is that how it is that we could prevent people from adding extra clauses to a Get Mekushar, and thereby forging a Get Mekushar. So first the Gemara is going to deal with that within the Shita of Rav Huna. Remember we had yesterday a Machlokas about how exactly a Get Mekushar was signed. So we had a Machlokas between Rav Huna on the one hand and Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba on the other hand, that Rav Huna had said Bein Kesher LeKesher, and Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba said Achore Aksav Keneged Aksav Mibachutz. So first the Gemara is going to ask, within Shitas Rav Huna, how do we avoid Ziyuf? The Gemara is going to suggest a number of ways that one might have done Ziyuf within Shitas Rav Huna. Then the Gemara is going to discuss how to avoid Ziyuf of Ishtar Mekusha within Shitas Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba, the way he envisions the signing of a Get Mekushar. And that will take us all the way on to Amud Beis. Along the way, the Gemara is going to tell us about how one is supposed to sign their name, or how one may sign their name. Do they have to write their name and their father's name? Do they need to write the word A? Do they have to write a name at all? Maybe they could just draw some sort of symbol that's supposed to represent their name. Then the Gemara is going to discuss at the end of the daf how to salvage a shtar that has a mechika on it, that if there's some sort of erased section, so do we just have to be suspicious that anything could have been there and therefore the whole shtar is puzzle, or is there some way to salvage that shtar and to still be able to use it even though there is a clear mechika, there's clearly something that used to be there that has since been erased. So let's begin again, 7 lines from the end of the page on Daf Kuf Samach Amud Beis. So the Gemara explains why, according to Rav Huna and the way he envisioned signing a Get Mekushar, we don't have to be choshesh for Ziyuf. I mean, again, according to Rav Huna, a Shtar Mekushar, the Eidim would sign between each of the folds at the beginning of the Shtar, not at the end of the Shtar, which would mean the end of the Shtar was the Pashut Shabim Mekushar. At the end of the Shtar, there's a lot of extra space, so where there are no signatures. So v'nechush dilma ziyuf because of my debay. Maybe you should be choshesh that maybe the guy who's holding the shtar was mizayif and he falsely wrote whatever he wanted at the end of the shtar. I mean, he added in, oh, and also this guy owes me this amount of money and other than he can write whatever he wants. V'chasim isadi, and the chasim osayedim that are on the reverse side of the shtar are made that everything in the shtar is true. So that's obviously a disaster because he can add whatever he wants into the shtar. Now, when it comes to a get pashut, we don't have to worry about this because as soon as the nusach hashtar is over, that's where the edim sign at the bottom of the shtar by a get pashut. And even if they're not so careful to sign right next to the nusach hashtar, they leave a little bit of space in between. We're going to see in the very beginning of tomorrow's daf that in the meidim mishita achrona, whatever's written on the last line is irrelevant. We don't pay attention to that anyway. And the minhag is that we just write on the shita achrona. We're chozer me'inyan shoshar. We just chazer over that which it says earlier, because you can't learn anything from the shita achrona anyway. So by get pashut, we have no concern, even if the edim leave a drop of space underneath the text of the shtar before they sign. Tosos raises the question on Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschel Mekushar Edav. Why didn't the Gemara answer that they simply cut off whatever is left on the bottom of the shtar? And mainly, you're not going to be able to add anything. That would be the simple solution. So Tosos suggests they can't cut off the empty cloth at the bottom of the shtar because they need to leave space for Dayanim to be Mekayim the shtar should it ever be called into question. And you have to write the Kiyum on the shtar itself. So they can't, they don't have the liberty to just cut off whatever's on the bottom of the shtar. Tos HaRash adds that you also can't say to be Melachlich Bidyo, to mess it up with ink, whatever is after the Siyum HaShtar, and to leave a another space underneath, whatever they mess up with ink, whatever they color in with ink for the Kiyum HaShtar, because there typically isn't that much space, meaning Enoch Inami, that would work as well if you had a long, long space underneath the Nusach of the Shtar. So an easy way to solve this problem is by being Malachlich Bidio, take some ink and mush it around in that area and leave space underneath that for a Kiyum HaShtar. And then there's nowhere to add anything within the Nusach of the Shtar, but Tosa Rosh says you don't have such long pieces of parchment that you have enough space for all of that. So since they leave enough space for the Kiyum HaShtar that the Dayanim are going to need to do, so we always have to be Choshesh that maybe someone will just add extra lines in the Shtar, and whatever signatures are on the other side of the Shtar is going to be enough, and they're going to assume that everything is valid in the Shtar, and that's ripe for problems. So answers the Gemara, no, there's a simple way around it. Tchsiv bei sharir v'kayam, that they have to write at the end of Shtar Mekusha the words Hakol sharir v'kayam, that everything that it says in the Shtar is strong, it's lasting, and that's what teaches us. Those words tell us Ad kan divrei Ashtar, that this is the end of the Shtar. The words Hakol Sharir V'Kayam tell us that there's no more nusach of the Shtar. So if someone adds other words after the words Hakol Sharir V'Kayam, we know to ignore that, because we know that that is not part of the Shtar. Now the Rashbam points out, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, you don't need to write in a Shtar Mekusha Hakol Sharir V'Kayam, because the Chasimos Ha'edim are signed exactly keneged all of the writing inside the Shtar. So Mele, if you're going to add on extra writing, it's not going to be corresponding to the Chasimus Ha'edim, so we're going to know that there's a problem anyway. But according to Rav Huna, where the Chasimus Ha'edim do not correspond to all of the text on the reverse side of the Shtar, that's where you need to have some sort of clear indicator when the Shtar actually ends, where the Nusach of the Shtar actually ends. Says the Gemara, wait, you haven't solved all of the concerns just by writing Hakol Sharir V'Kayam. V'nechosh dul makas of my debay, shouldn't we have to be choshish that maybe a guy is going to write whatever he wants? And then he'll write another Sharir V'Kayam, meaning he'll add more to the Shtar, and he'll add a second Sharir V'Kayam onto the Shtar. So it sounds like the whole kasha is dafka on a get makusha, that on a get pashut, for some reason we're not worried about this. So Tosos and Kuf Samach Aleph Amar Aleph in Dibra Maskul V'Gayas and the Yad Ramah says that in a Shtar pashut, everyone holds you don't need to write a kol Sharir V'Kayam, but by a makushar you need to write Sharir V'Kayam. Like the Gemara says over here, that we're only asking on a Shtar Mekusha. And the reason for that is, the Rashbam explains, only by a Shtar Mekusha, since there are no Edom signed at the end of the Shtar, is it even possible to add extra things in. And therefore, you need to write a Kol Sharir V'Kayam to indicate the end of the text of the Shtar. But by a Get Pashut, since the Edom sign at the very end of the Shtar, there's no opportunity to add anything else in. And therefore, you don't need to write a Kol Sharir V'Kayam. However, Tosos points out that Bismanenu, our minig is to write even by a get pashut Hakol Sharir V'Kayam. So you're going to find in a Ksuba, you'll find in a Tanayim that they write Hakol Sharir V'Kayam at the end of the Shtar. So Mele, a Shtar that doesn't have that Nusach is going to be puzzle, even though the whole Gemara assumes that you only need Hakol Sharir V'Kayam by a get Mekushar, and by a get pashut, we never even required Hakol Sharir V'Kayam, because we know exactly where the Nusach ends. The Nusach ends where the signatures are on a Shtar pashut. But says Tosos, our minig is that we write a Kol Sharir V'Kayam even on a Get Pashut, and therefore if it doesn't have it, you should be very, very suspicious that something is wrong. The Ramban and the Rashba say that Me'ikar Din HaGemara, you need to write Sharir V'Kayam on all Shtaros, even on a Get Pashut. When the Gemara over here is only asking about Get Mekushar, that's because by a Get Pashut, you don't have to worry that maybe you're going to write a second Sharir V'Kayam, because we're going to see that you're not allowed to be Marchik the Chasimos from the Shtar by more than one line, but a Shtar Mekushar where there's room to add more, so then I have to be choshish you're going to add more and another Sharir V'Kayam. And that's what the Gemara answers, that by Shtaros Mekusharim they don't write Sharir V'Kayam twice, as opposed to by a Shtar Pashut where they write even four or five times Sharir V'Kayam, because you have the signatures to really mark where the end of the Shtar is. So it's actually Medina de Gemara that you need Sharir V'Kayam on all Shtaros. So both the Ramban and the Rashba on the one hand, and Tosfos on the other hand, both assume that we write Hakol Sharir V'Kayam on all of our Shtaros, but for different reasons. The Rambam and the Rashba say it's Mikra Din, it's Din in the Gemara. You got to write Kol Shiver Kayam, that's what signifies the end of the Nusach of a Shtar. Whereas Tosfos says, nah, it's not Mikra Din. Mikra Din is only for a Shtar Mekushar. We don't do Shtaros Mekusharos anymore. We only do a Shtar Pashut. But that became the practice. And since it became the practice, it's a good sign that somebody doesn't know what they're doing when they write a Shtar. If they don't have a Kol Shiver Kayam at the end of the Shtar. So that's again. So back into the Gemara. So v'neichus tum because my debayi v'had the cause of shervikayim achrina. Why aren't I choshes that in the shtar makushar he's going to write a second time hakol shervikayim? Answers the Gemara: Chad shari v'kayam kasvinan, trei shari v'kayam lo kasvinan. We only write shari v'kayam once, twice. We do not write it. There is no. We don't write a shtar with the word shari v'kayam twice. And Melech, if you see a shtar that has twice hakol shari v'kayam, do not learn from that which it says in that shtar. Whatever it says after the first shari v'kayam, you could rest assured is something that is meant to be ignored. That is a zeal. That is not something that is part of the Nusach of the Shtar. That is not something that the Edom signed on to. So it says, okay, so you think you solved all the world's problems by having a Shari V'Kayam to signify the end of the Shtar, making sure that it's only one Shari V'Kayam, that only the first Shari V'Kayam. Says the Gemara, I'm still concerned, according to Rav Huna, V'Leichush, Dilma Machik Le L'Shari V'Kayam, V'Kasamai Dibayi, V'Hadakasam Shari V'Kayam. Granted, if you see two Shari V'Kayams in a Shtar, you'll know that there's a problem. But maybe you won't see two Shari V'Kayams in the Shtar. Maybe it said a Kol Shari V'Kayam at an earlier place in the Shtar. Then someone filled in all the blank space below it, and they erased the first Shari V'Kayam and added in wherever it said that first Shari V'Kayam. And Ploni also owes me $10 million. Right? They can write whatever they want in that space. So it turns out that you're only going to see one Shari V'Kayam in the Shtar, and you're going to be machshir this Shtar with the Shari V'Kayam. So answer Gemara, Ham Rabbi Yochanan, Tuluya Mukuyames Kshera, that if you have a word that is hanging in a shtar, meaning that initially the sofer, for whatever reason, forgot to write this word, and then he added in between the lines next to the words that it belongs next to, he added this word, and it's Mukuyames, meaning and the sofer then writes at the end of the shtar that this word was written, you know, hanging between the lines, so then it's Kshera. It's like any other Nusach of the shtar that's going to be valid. However, more pertinent to us, machak pasul or machak pasul. If there's a space that was erased in the shtar and there were words written over it, those words are going to be pasul. And whatever's written after it, Rashbam adds critically, whatever's written after that machak is also going to be pasul. The afalpi shemekuyim, even though that machak was mekuyim, that at the end of the shtar, you're right that these words were written on that mechika. That's going to be pasul. So it turns out that whatever was written before the mechika, the way the Rashbam learns, is going to be kosher. That it's only from the mechika and on that we're going to ignore, but whatever's before the mechika is going to be kosher. We have to pass everything after the mechika because maybe what it said in that mechika was shari v'kayam, and now you've erased that, but that verified everything that was prior to the mechika, and that's how the Rashba learns as well. That if in the middle of the shtar there's a mechika that's in the mukiyemes, we're not choshesh that some extra tenai was added in over there that would be mevatel the entire previous nusach of the shtar, right? Meaning we don't have to be choshesh that, you know, the first five lines of the shtar say that this guy owes that guy that amount of money and this property is being transferred to this person, and then there's a mechika. You don't have to be choshesh say, you know, if my dog talks to me this morning, right? Meaning that they add in a tonight that never happened, that's going to make everything irrelevant. Prior to that shtar, you don't have to worry that there's such a tenai prior to that, and therefore everything it says before the mechika is actually valid. The Ritva and the Mukhei Yosef say if there's a mechika, the whole shtar is pasul. You have no idea what could have been written there. Anything could have been written there. There could have been a tenai for anything. There's something that's impossible, or something that didn't happen, and therefore We just have to ignore the shtar entirely. But the point is that we're making over here is that we don't, according to Rav Huna, we don't have to worry about a ziyuf because they write a kol shir v'kayam. They only write it once, and any mechika is going to invalidate at least from the mechika and on anyway. So Rabbi Yochanan just adds that that's not always true. V'lo amru mechak pasul ela b'makom shir v'kayam. A mechak is only going to be pasul if it's in a place where it would have made sense to have Hakol Shir V'Kayam written there, a place where that made sense to be the end of a shtar. And Ukashir Shari V'Kayam. And another condition, that the mechika has to be large enough that they could have written Hakol Shir V'Kayam in that mechika, meaning that might have been what was actually written there. So in such a case, we have to be choshesh that the words Hakol Shir V'Kayam were there, and that was the end of the shtar. And then this guy came and erased Shari V'Kayam, and he wrote other things, and then after he finished writing whatever he wanted to add in, he wrote another Hakol Shir V'Kayam, and he was Mekayim the Mechika, and all of that was a ziyuf. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we can now answer the Gemara's Kasha, that it don't have to be choshesh for on a shtar makushar, that maybe you're going to erase the shir v'kayam and you write something else, because that would passel the whole thing. So you cannot erase the shir v'kayam and write something else. Now the Rishonim point out, Tosfos and the Rashi point out, that kol shkein, if the mechika was larger than an area that's needed to write hakol shir v'kayam, that it's going to be passel, because it could have had anything plus Hakol Shir V'Kayam, and that's going to possibly. What the Gemara is being memayit is if it were smaller than the amount of space that it would take to write Hakol Shir V'Kayam, that you don't have to be choshish was actually the end of the shtar, because it couldn't have signified the end of the shtar. There was no Hakol Shir V'Kayam there. Now the Rashash raises the question, why do you have to say that the reason for the psul is because it could have said Hakol Shir V'Kayam there? There's the reason for the psul could be just that there was a Tanai there, and then even if it was smaller, the Tanai could have been there. So Rashash raises that as a kasha, it's a good kasha, meaning anything that's erased could have said anything. So you should have always been choshesh that there might have been a tonight. We never know what was written there, originally. Okay, so that was part one of the daf. So again, part one was according to Rav Huna's shita from yesterday about how they would sign to get mekushar. How do we avoid ziyuf? Meaning Rav Huna did not have signature signing all the way to the bottom, so there's space after the signatures. So therefore, it's ripe for forgeries. So this is how we avoid the forgeries, by writing a kol shir v'kayam, writing it only once, not writing it twice, not allowing any mechikos. Good, so that's how we solve the problem. So now the Gemara says, okay, and what about according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, to Amar, according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, who says that the Edom on the Shtar Mekushar sign behind the Ksav and Kneged HaKsav Mibachutz on the outside of the Shtar, only corresponding to where there's a Ksav, since the Chasimus HaEdim are Kneged the entire Ksiva, you don't need to write a Kol Shir V'Kayam, because if you're going to add anything into the Shtar, it's going to be Nicker, that's an addition to the Shtar, because it's not Kneged Chasimus HaEdim, right? So according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, the Chasimus HaEdim on the reverse side of the Shtar correspond exactly to where the Nusach of the Shtar is on the front side of the shtar, and therefore there's no need for a kol shir v'kayam, because wherever the chasimos end, that's where the shtar ends. If someone wants to add anything in, it's going to extend beyond the chasimos, and you'll know that that's a problem. Well, leichosh dil makasav migavai ma'idabai. Maybe we should be choshish for the following. Maybe someone is going to add in whatever they want to the inside of the shtar. They'll add in a hemshich to the nusach of the shtar, and even keneged where there are no edim, because the Edom only signed where the shtar went to originally. Umachtim sadi yiseri me'abrai, and then they'll just bring more edim and they'll sign on. They'll sign on the reverse side, corresponding to where the new writing that you added in. V'amra another rabbis beedim udavdi, and the mezayif is going to say that yeah, I know that I have seven edim and you only need three edim and a shtar makushar. But isn't that the thing that we're in order to be mefarsing the shtar, we add extra edim? That's the Gemara in Gittin and Daf Pei Aleph says that after they sign on and get makushar, after three edim sign on and get makushar, You could assign whoever else you want. Bring Krovim, Psulim, anybody else. As long as you have original three Edim Ksherim, so that's all you need for a Get Mekushar. And then you could add in whatever you want. So since a Get Mekushar has so many Edim, and you only need to be Mekayim Shlosha Edim to be Mekayim the Shtar, and there's no Chiluk where anybody signs, so you could be Mekayim the Chasimos of the true Edim, of the original three Edim, and everyone's going to assume that that the whole Shtar is the original Nusuch of the Shtar, and that the whole Shtar is valid. How are you going to get these guys to sign? How are you going to convince someone to sign if they know that they didn't witness this transaction that the other party agreed to? Well, they'll see that they're already three Edim, which is the Iker Edus on a Get Mekushar, and they're not adding any Edus in the Shtar. The Rabbeinu Yitzchak Karkosha is in the Shittas HaKalmonim writes that, what do you mean? You're getting Krovim, you're getting Psulim, you're not getting you're getting people who don't care. So since you can have Krovim Psulim sign anyway, so that's how you're getting them to sign. It's not going to be hard to find someone who's gonna sign. If it could be anybody, you're never going to have to be Mekayim these Chasimus, or you could be Mezayif it yourself. Make up a signature so you can sign Mickey Mouse on the bottom. Just have extra signatures. It's perfectly fine to have signatures on the bottom of a Get Mekushar. So even according to Rabbi Yemir Baraba, that these signatures on the reverse side of the Get Mekushar have to correspond exactly to where the ksav is on the front of the Get Mekushar, you could still have a problem that they'll add extra ksav, they'll add extra text, and they'll add extra signatures. Says the Gemara, Amr Lei, sort of Chista said back to Rabbi Barchama, Mi Savrit Edim Kisidron Chasimi. Do you think that according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Edim sign Kiseder, like the Seder of the writing of the Shtar, meaning that if you write the Shtar across the width of the paper, that the Edim also sign across the width of the paper? Meaning when we write Hebrew right to left on one side of the paper, that on the reverse side the Edim also sign right to left on the paper, and it goes from the beginning of the Shtar to the end of the Shtar? No! Edim Mimatalim Malachasimi. They begin their signatures from the end of the Shtar, and they write upward toward the beginning of the Shtar. So they don't sign Keneged the written lines in the Nusach of the Get. They if the Get was written on the width of the document, so the Edim sign across the length of the document. And the first eight signs Keneged the Shura HaAchrona. So you have a piece of paper, and on this side the writing goes like this from one end to the other, and then on the other side the Edim start at the bottom and write upwards. They write their signature going up. So that's how you saw the Matal Malachasimi. And Mimela, if you add extra lines at the end of the Shtar, it's going to be very recognizable because the Chasimus Eidim only begins Keneged that Shura, not Keneged the Shura that's above it. And everyone's going to know that there's a Ziyuf of the Shtar. Now Tosus raises the question that B'derech Klal, Ksiva V'Nusuch HaShtar, does not begin right at the very beginning of the Git, meaning that we always leave margins whenever you write anything. So since there's always margins on the side which doesn't have anything written on it, and the Edim are not chosim keneged viksav, they're not writing from one end of the paper to the other, they're signing their signatures from the bottom to the top. So on the Achorei Ashtar, the Edim are signed, but above where the Edim's names are, there's some empty space, there are the margins. So why aren't the Chacham Choshesh that a person is going to be mochek everything that's written in the true Shtar, and he'll rewrite it on top of where the Chasimus Edim are, but he'll rewrite a Shtar Mezuyaf, and he'll just take advantage of more of the klaf to write the Shtar Mezuyaf. So Tosus answers that it could be that Shtar Mekushar, you have to make sure to be Chotech the Gilyon, that you cannot leave any margins on the side of the Shtar Mekushar, because in a chinami, that's going to be ripe for a Ziyuf. Also, or Tosa says that they're metayit. They take some ink and they mess up the entire gilyon, the entire margin of the shtar, and therefore it won't leave any room for any sort of ziyuf. So that's how the Edom would sign according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, and therefore you don't have to worry that people are going to add extra lines into the shtar. Now the Mishnah Maseches Gittin Daf Pei Zayin tells us that the nusach of the chasimus Edom in a shtar could meaning exactly how do you sign your name in a shtar. So it could come in a number of different forms. If a person writes only his name or only the name of his father, then he adds the word aid, right? If he wants to say Reuven aid or Ben Yaakov aid, that's perfectly fine. If he's writing both his name and his father's name, Reuven Ben Yaakov, then he doesn't need to add the word aid. He could just write Reuven Ben Yaakov. So ask the Gemara on this Mishnah, based on this Mishnah from Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Velechosh Dilma Misrami Reyusa Bishita Achrona. Maybe the shtar that it's going to happen that in the last line of the shtar there's going to be something that's bad for the guy that's holding the shtar, like a special tanai that he has to fulfill, or it's going to say that the shtar was already paid, so the guy holding the shtar stands to lose by whatever it says in the Shita Achrona. And grant, we're going to see at the very beginning of tomorrow's daf that in the Meidim Shita Achrona, we already pointed out, we don't learn from anything it says in the Shita Achrona. The last line is just a repeat of what it says before. Tosfos points out that's only when it's Letovas HaMachzik B'Shtar, when it's something to benefit the guy that's holding the shtar, then we ignore the Shita Achrona. But if it's something that works to the detriment of the person that's Machzik in the shtar, then we do listen to the Shita Achrona. So ask the Gemara, maybe I have to be worried that maybe something was written in the Shita Achrona, in the last line of the shtar, meaning up until now we discussed, why am I not worried that I'm adding to the shtar, that there's extra space, and we said no, you can't do that because it's going to be clear where the chasimos ha'edim begin, and you can't add anything below that in the shtar. Now the Gemara is asking, maybe I will subtract from what it says in the shtar. I'll cut off the last line of the shtar. V'gayizle l'shita achrona. I'll just cut off the last line. V'gayizle l'ruvein badei. And granted, the signatures begin on that last, meaning on the reverse side. If the shtar goes all the way down the page and the signatures begin, it starts Reuven, Ben, Yaakov, Eid, going up. So I cut off that last line. I'll cut off the word Reuven. That's okay. I'll still have Ben Yaakov Eid, and it will be Mekuyim as Ben Yaakov Eid, right? It will still be clear that it's somebody's signature over there. So the guy is the Shita Achrona, the guy is the Reuven Badei, and Memeli will cut off the Chasima of the Eid on the reverse side of the shtar, Kenega, that last line where it says Reuven, Umis Kasher Ben Yaakov Eid, and we'll kasher the shtar with the words Ben Yaakov Eid. Ditanan, because after all, the Mishnah Gittin says Ben Ish Ploni Eid. Kosher, that if it says Ben Ish Ploni Eid, that it's going to be kosher because sometimes a child is known by his father's name, and that's a perfectly valid way to sign. So answers Gemara, an aide does not sign his name on one long line, but rather Dichsiv Reuven Ben Bechadara. He writes Reuven Ben on one line of the nusach of the, meaning corresponding to one line of the nusach of the shtar on the inside of the shtar, and the word Reuven and the word Ben are written one on top of the other, Kenegad the Shura Achrona, V'Yaakoved Ilavei, and on top of it it says Yaakoved. So Mele, if you're going to cut off that last line, you're going to cut off not just the word Reuven, you can cut off the words Reuven and Ben, and you're going to be left with only the words Yaakov Eid, and that's not the name of the Eid, it's the name of the Eid's father. So therefore, no one's ever going to be Mekayim it, because you're not left with a valid signature. So says Gemara, okay, but still, V'leichosh Dilma Gayezle Reuven Ben, maybe you'll cut off that last line, and therefore you'll cut off the words Reuven Ben, Umiskasher B'Yaakov Eid, and people will just assume the name of the aid is Yaakov, and they'll assume that Yaakov is the one that signed it, so it will still be kosher. So granted, they won't be able to be Mekayim it as Reuven's signature because it won't say Ben Yaakov Eid, but it will still say Yaakov Eid, and you could always write your name plus the word aid. So the Gemara says the nusach of such a chasim is going to be kosher. How do I know? Ditnan, because it's a Mishnah that Ish Ploni Eid kosher. You say your name and you say the word aid, that's going to be it's going to be kosher. Now the Ramban says that the Gemara could have just come up with a simple solution to this, that it could have been Reuven Ben in one line, connected the Shura Achrona, and the Shura in the that was prior to it in the Nusach HaGet, underneath it says Yaakov 8, connected the two Shuros that are inside of the Get. So Mela, if you cut off the last line, you're cutting off the words Reuven and Yaakov, meaning you could have said on the back of the page, Reuven Ben Yaakov 8, right? Reuven at the very bottom, Ben right next to it, corresponding to the second last line, Yaakov at the very bottom, and the word 8 corresponding to the second last line. So if you cut off the last line, you've cut off the words Reuven and Yaakov, and all it says, all you can be left with is Ben 8, and that doesn't mean anything. So the Gemara could have given that answer, that that's the way they're supposed to sign it, and if you sign it that way, then you don't have the ability to cut off the Shura Achrona. But the Gemara says, but the Ramban says, the Gemara doesn't give that answer. The Gemara answers based on the way it assumed the chasima happens in the kasha. It's also a little bit difficult to understand. What's the Gemara's kasha over here? That because once you cut off the name Reuven, it will still say Reuven Ben. It will still say Yaakov Aid, and therefore it will be Mekayim the Shtar. But it's not Yaakov's signature. Meaning the whole way to be Mekayim is two people who recognize the signature of the Aid are going to come in there and say, "Oh yeah, I know that guy's handwriting. This is that guy's handwriting." They're going to see it's not Yaakov's handwriting, right? You're not going to find any Edom to verify, because it wasn't. It was Reuven's handwriting. So why are we choshish that someone's going to be Mekayim with the words Yaakov Eid? It wasn't Yaakov's handwriting. So Tosos, the Dibra Maslam Niskasha, says that Einoch Nami, they're not going to be able to be Mekayim the Shtar. But since the whole din of Kim Shtarus is only applies when the Lova Tainas, that it's Mezuyov, we have to be choshish that the Lova is not going to remember. The Lova is a little absent-minded. He signs a million Shtarus every day. He doesn't remember what it says. You know, he's a very innocent, there are a lot of people like this, a very innocent, trusting people. They get a bill, they pay it. They don't think, did I do it? Did I try? Right? And, you know, so he gets a shtar that says that he owes, so it must be one of my kids spent $1,000. So he goes and he pays it. He doesn't think twice about it. But it's Mezuyov, but it's going to, so he's going to be too trusting. He's never going to taina that it's Mezuyov. So we're never going to need to be Mekayimit. And it looks like a perfectly valid shtar because it says Yaakov 8. So that's a Tosa. Understands. The Ritva says, no, it could be that they'll be able to be Mekayimit because handwritings are somewhat hereditary. So whatever Reuven's handwriting is, Yaakov's probably isn't far off. So if it says Yaakov Eid, even though it was Reuven's handwriting, you may find people who are able to be Mekayim the Shtar. So answers the Gemara, Deloksiv Eid. On a Get Mekushar, they don't write Reuven ben Yaakov Eid. It just says Reuven ben Yaakov. Because remember, you don't have to add the word Eid unless you're only writing Reuven Eid or ben Yaakov Eid. Once you say Reuven ben Yaakov, you don't need the word Eid. Ooh, so if you didn't write Eid, then when you cut off the word Reuven, it just says ben Yaakov. That's invalid. That's it needs to say the word Eid. The Iba Yasema, or another possible way to be Miyashiv, the Olam de Kosav Eid, that really you did write Eid, and still I'm not Choshesh, you can cut off the last line, and the star is going to be Mekuyam with the words Yaakov Eid. The Adin Beid, the Chasimus Yada, Lav de Yaakov, because everyone will know that Chasima is not Yaakov's Chasima. Meaning that was Tosas Kasha, but Tosas Kasha was what was the Havamina, meaning it's such an obvious answer that it's not Yaakov's handwriting, it's Reuven's handwriting, right? So the different Rishonim had different approaches as to what the Havamina of the Gemara is. But the Gemara's answer anyway says you're not going to be able to be Mekayim it because they're different handwritings. So ask the Gemara, Dilma B'Shmei Davua Chasim, Dilma B'Shmei Davua Chasim, even though everyone will realize it's not Yaakov's signature, we could still be Machshirit because maybe Reuven signs his name with his father's name in order to be Mechabit his father. Rav Elchanan points out in Kovit Shurim, you see from here that in order to be Mamid Ashtar, Becheskas Kashrus, we say the most ridiculous things, meaning we'll say a Tzad Rachok Ma'od. Who would sign their name with the name of their father? But maybe the Gemara says maybe he wants to his whole prestige, his whole covenant in life is that he's the son of this person. So he signs by his father's name. Everyone should know who his father. So his name is Hunter, but he writes Joe 8. So that everyone will know who we're talking about, right? So maybe he signs by the name of Avua. So Lo Shavak Inish Shmei Didei V'Chasim B'Shmei Davua, that a person would not leave his own name and use instead his father's name. No one does that. Everyone has their own sense of personal identity. and therefore the person is going to sign with their own sense of personal identity. So ask the Gemara, V'dilma simana bi'alma hu deshavya. Maybe that's his simin. People sometimes don't sign with their names. Sometimes they sign with a special simin. How do I know that people sign with a special simin? Because we have plenty of examples. The Harav, when Rav wanted to sign a shtar or a letter, he didn't write his name. He was Tzir Kavra. He drew a picture of a fish. Rabbi Chanina, Tzir Charusa. Rabbi Chanina drew pictures of branches of a decal tree when he wanted to sign his name. The Rashbam writes, there's no good reason why these Amorayim use these particular pictures. He says maybe Rav drew fish because he really loved to eat fish, and Rabbi Chanina really loved dates, so he signed with dates. So they just signed with their favorite foods. So the Marshal says that is ridiculous. I mean, these are Amorayim. What do you mean? They're just their favorite foods? No, it must be a symbol of some mitzvah that they did. It must be that Rav was very makbid to buy fish l'kavod Shabbos, even though he couldn't afford fish the rest of the week, or he didn't buy fish the rest of the week. He wanted to reserve something l'kavod Shabbos. And the same with Rabbi Chanina and his dates. It has to be that's a signal of some mitzvah. His whole identity is going to be, Rav the Jets fan. It's got to be something important. So it must be that it was done for a mitzvah. Okay, but that was his symbol. He had a symbol. Rav Chista. Samach, Rav Chista would just write the letter Samach. Rav Hoshaya Ayin, Rav Hoshaya would just write the letter Ayin. Rav Barafuna Machusa, he would make a mast of a sailboat, draw a picture of a mast of a sailboat that and everyone would know who the Amorayim were based on their signatures. So if that's the case, when you see the words Yaakov Aid, it could be Reuven's signature, and they'll be Mekayim the Shtar, and they'll say that Reuven wrote the word Yaakov because that was Reuven's simon, that Reuven's Simon was to write the word Yaakov rather than his own name. Now the Ritva writes all these Amorayim would add the word aid after the picture because there's no way. I mean, even if you have a simon, there's no way that the simon is better than your name, right? Meaning, and if with your own name you have to add the word aid. So probably after the picture they had to add the word aid as well. Tosos points out that in Gittin Lamed Vav it says that these simanim only help in a place where it's meforsim that was the simon of that person. So the Gemara's whole kasha is a little bit difficult. The Gemara is saying, how do I know? Maybe Reuven Simon is the name Yaakov, is the word Yaakov. If that were Reuven Simon and we don't know about it, then it's an invalid Simon. Something is only a valid Simon if everybody knows about it, if it's Mephorsam, that it's the person's Simon. So the Tosa says you have to define what Mephorsam means, meaning maybe if it later comes to light that Reuven always signs with the name Yaakov, that's Mephorsam enough, even though we happen to have not known about that yet at this time. So we have to be Choshesh, and maybe he always signs with the name Yaakov. So says Gemara, no, we're not worried that that's the case. Lo chatzav inish l'shvuya l'shmei da'avua simana. No one uses their father's name as a simon. What a chutzpah that would be. So therefore, we're not machshir shtar that says Yaakov Aid in Reuven's handwriting. Therefore, no one's ever going to cut off the last line where it says Reuven Ben and leaving him only with Yaakov Aid in Reuven's handwriting. So we explained why, according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba, we're not choshesh that you're going to add extra into the shtar and sign more edim, and we explain why according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba we're not choshesh you're going to cut off of the shtar and be left with a partial signature that might be meaningful. Alternatively, the Gemara says, why am I not choshesh for ziyuf on the shtar makushar? Marzutra amar lo melach kulei hai. Why do you need to say all these difficult answers? The reason you don't have to worry that you're going to cut off the last line of the shtar or add anything at the end of the shtar, why neither of these are a concern, is because according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, the edim do not sign one after the other. They sign one under the other. And therefore, kol mekusher she'ein eid of kolin b'shita achas puzzle. Any shtar mekusher with the signatures do not conclude in one line is going to be puzzle. Meaning, they either all begin their signatures on the first line of the shtar and conclude it on the last line of the shtar, or they begin on the last line of the shtar and conclude it on the first line of the shtar. So mela, if eidim sign from the bottom of the shtar going upwards, and you cut off that last line, you're going to cut off all of the beginnings of all of the signatures. So you're only going to be left with ends of signatures, and it's going to possible the shtar. And if the Adam signed me lamaila lamata, so you're going to there's a need for the beginning of the chasimos to be in the first line of the shtar, and will all conclude in the last line of the shtar. The signatures will all conclude. So if you cut off that last line, you're going to cut off the end of of the signatures, and it's going to be puzzle. So and both of those instances, you also can add something to the end of the Nusach Hashtar, because whatever extra signatures you'd want to add wouldn't be beneath them. It wouldn't be corresponding to whatever you're adding. Whatever extra signatures you'd have would just be in line with the existing signatures. The Rashbam writes in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel that even though the Gemara answers all of the kashos on Rabbi Yirmiyahu Shita, the Mishnah sounds much more like Rav Huna, because Rabbi Chanin ben Gamliel said that a get mekusher shechas me'edim betocho is kosher, so because it's efshal asoso pashut. According to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, that the edim signed mimata lemaila and not across like they would on the shuros of a get, it's not shayich to make a mekusher into a pashut. So even though the Gemara spent a good amount of real estate, a good amount of time over here trying to figure out how this works according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, it could be that we do not paskin like Rabbi Yirmiyahu, that we paskin like Rav Huna. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll pick up with Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Everyone have a wonderful day, and welcome back. Shamshi, nice to see you.